I have face planted more than I can count in ultras, you know, and you just do the roll and you look really cool and you bounce back up and you do your thing.
Diz Runs Radio, episode 449 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is once again sponsored in part by the good folks from Ultra. I've talked about them before, talk about them again. But just a reminder that you know, they do have more than just shoes these days. I'm still a big fan of the shoes, and I'm quickly becoming a fan of the apparel there as well. So if you're looking for some new stuff for the fall, they've got some really great stuff to check out. If you've got a local retailer, you know, a local specialty running store that sells Ultra stuff, head over there and you know, check it out. But if you need to get it online, if you go through dizruns.com/ultra, that's my affiliate link, and I can get a couple shekels if you decide to make a purchase or not. So check out the website, check out your local running store, and thanks to Ultra for helping to sponsor today's episode. So without any further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys, my guest today is a woman that has definitely been bitten hard by the endurance sports bug. Since getting into ultra running and Ironman triathlon, which we may or may not get to, we'll see, but our sport has become less of a hobby for her and much more of just part of her regular lifestyle. And her success in the sport has also led to some opportunities for her to do a little public speaking and motivational speaking as well. So without any further ado, it is a pleasure to be able to go a few miles today with my fellow Ultra Ambassador, Ms. Steph Whitmore. Thanks for joining us today, Steph.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Oh, good. I've been, you may or may not know this, I can't remember if I told you, but I've been kind of stalking you a little bit on in the Facebook group, the Ultra group, for a bit. I've been looking forward to lining this one up for a while, and I'm glad we're finally able to make it happen. And guys, if you want to connect with Steph and kind of see some of the things she's got going on, she's all over the socials, and she's making it difficult on us because she's like a different handle in every place. But here we go. And obviously we'll have the links in the show notes as per usual if you want to, if you're struggling to keep up with all this stuff. But on Facebook, facebook.com/Steph.Whitmore, the number 14, that's WHITMORE 14. And you're going to want to remember that part because that's kind of somewhat consistent. On the Twitter, at S Whitmore, all one word, at S Whitmore 14. On Snapchat, same thing, S Whitmore 14. And on the Instagram, at Air Olson 14 as well. So 14 is something special there, but Air Olson, OLSON 14 on the Instagram. And again, if you're as confused as I am and I have all the stuff right in front of me, head over to the show notes for this episode and we'll have all the links there and as well as anything else we talk about that makes sense to link to. And this one is 449. So dizruns.com/449 to get to the show notes, see a few photos and connect with Steph there. So now that we got all the housekeeping stuff out of the way, Steph, the way we always start off the show is with a pretty simple and straightforward question that for some folks has a simple and straightforward answer, and for some people it's difficult, and you know, for what it's worth, ultra people tend to make it even more difficult, but that's a whole, you know, we'll get into it and see what happens. But that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Yes. Yeah. So I still think I'm a rookie in the sport. I haven't been doing that long, but absolutely, I feel 100-mile really embodies kind of the core base of why I love ultra. So I would say up to the last year or so, it would be 100-mile. But with the schedule change, career move, all that fun stuff, logistically, I found training for hundreds or not there's just not enough hours in the day to really find that balance and to do well in all the other aspects of my life. So I'm leaning towards 100K, but I don't want an easy 100K. I like the mountains. I like, you know, ridiculous inclines and, you know, death drops or whatever you can throw at me. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay, and as per usual, with that question gives me so many things to talk about that I'm going to forget about half of them as we go through, because we're going to end up on some tangent and down another
Probably.
Path, and that's going to bring something else on. But a few things in there. One, and I know this because we've been connected for a couple years through Ultra, you're in Iowa, and you're saying that you like these gnarly verticals and mountains and let's go high. And how do those two tie into each other? Because, you know, from the stereotypical geography that we get, and I've driven across Iowa, so I've seen the elevation, and it's about the same as what we have down here in Florida. So how do you enjoy, or how do you balance being a flatlander with sure. enjoying to race the high and the crazy and the altitude and the climb and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and a fabulous question. I thrive on challenge, and I think that's where it is. I also, I really enjoy the aspect of just seeing the world, man, and just going out and experiences different parts of our nation. So I'm intrigued and I'm drawn to going to the coastal regions or going south for a, you know, Black Canyon or, you know, just kind of doing a lot of traveling. As far as training, that's a whole new ball game. I mean, I've gotten super, super creative. I am not a track runner. I'm not a road runner at all. But I do have this ridiculous addiction with the treadmill. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of people will see, oh, there's Steph on the treadmill and she's going at it for a marathon or a 50K. And, you know, I'll crank up that elevation or I'll set it as high as I can get it. Usually it's 15. I've broken a few treadmills in my day. But, you know, that's I get a lot of training that way. But we do have some gems around the Midwest. There's some nice parks where you can get some sick hills and inclines that, you know, I'm not a huge fan of repeats, but, you know, I'll do what I got to do to get my elevation training in. But and it's a lot of cross training. And that's something I've really kind of graduated up to. My thought with ultra was, man, you got to run as much as possible, as often as you can, and just kill it constantly to get those miles up. But I've really learned that it's about the quality of miles and not the quantity of miles. So I've been in and out of some injuries and sidelined, and that's really taught me that. So I've done a lot of, you know, stair climbing and a lot of cross training. My triathlon background has really kind of opened my eyes to the benefits of that. And all that really compiles to being effective in running in hills and mountains. So it's been a challenge. But I do. I travel a lot. I mean, I've got a phenomenal position with my career where I'm able to be super creative with my schedule, and I just make it happen.
Gotcha. What about just the elevation? I mean, you know, not the climbing so much, but just the thin air.
Right.
Is there a way to prepare for that, or is that just the variable that you just there's nothing you can do about?
You know, I've read so many things. I'm kind of a science nerd and a total geek when it comes to, you know, figuring out strategies to that. I tried the training mask. I use that. It does restrict your O2 a little bit, which is good. It kind of makes you more effective. So I'll utilize that on, you know, inclines. But as far as the altitude alone, I've learned to either go out 3 weeks ahead of time and climatize and train in the mountains, which who can do that, you know?
Right.
Or you just show up the night before and, you know, pray that the ultra gods got your back. So that's kind of been my forte. That's kind of what I do. I had some training out in Colorado Springs for work, and I summited a peak before and after work every single day. And, you know, that's not as high as, you know, a lot of these places mm-hmm. where I'm really geared to race at, but it's a step up from Iowa for sure.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't have any problems. So I actually felt better. So, and I came back just a beast, like, you know, a week in Colorado Springs and doing the Manitou incline, you know, like three times in a day, you know, stuff like that. It hasn't affected me yet, but, you know, I've got a race coming up this weekend where it's going to test that. So we'll see.
Gotcha. It's one of those things I've had questions people ask about the O2 masks, and from what I can tell from the science, like, yeah, I mean, of course it's going to make it more difficult when you're,
right.
when you're training, you know, obviously, but a lot of the benefits you get from the blood levels occur from
right.
being in that situation 24/7 for, like you said, for a couple, 3 weeks or as long as you can, you'll be in an elevation. So I'm just like,
sure.
man, unless you're going to wear that mask all day, every day, and just walk around looking like, what's his face? Like Bane from Batman. It's, you know,
exactly.
I don't know that it has much effect, but, you know, I've never tried it. So who am I to say?
And it totally could be a hack, but, you know, something that I'm sure you're very familiar with on a lot of ultra runners is the mental component mm-hmm. and maybe the false confidence. And I really feel, I mean, obviously there's legit biological and physiological effects from altitude and all that. But I think, you know, the mind's a powerful thing. And that's a huge, huge part about my obsession with ultra is how strategic and how powerful the mind is getting through the sport. So, you know, I'm banking on that going in blindly. And, you know, and it's the experiences. And half the time, some of my failures have been my greatest achievements. And so either way, it's a win the way I look at it.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, just, you know, to kind of put a little bit of an end cap on this one, I think you're right too about, you know, whether it makes much of a physiological difference, that I would certainly say that there's a benefit of I've trained in it and I know that I can run when I'm not getting the full oxygen.
Right.
You know, so there is just that little bit of mental benefit, even if physiologically doesn't do much for you, that mm-hmm. psychological boost can and most likely does make a difference on race day. It's one less thing you got to really kind of worry about.
You bet. There's enough things, right?
Right. Yeah. Lord knows there's always enough things to worry about. If you can strike one thing off the list, it's going to help. So you mentioned you're not much of a road runner, not much of a track runner. How'd you get into running at all? Or did you just start on the trails and that was it? Or how'd you find the sport to begin with?
It was, you know, I literally fell into it. Growing up, I've always been an athlete. Basketball was actually my thing all through college. And basically, we ran when we were in trouble. So, running was not a positive thing. Your coach says, get online, and you're like, oh, crap, what did we do wrong? And we'd have to, you know, gut out some running. So I was never a fan. And I used to make fun of track runners. I'm like, ooh, you're making a left turn. I mean, it's kind of like NASCAR. But, right. I get it now. So no offense to my fellow track runners, because now I understand it. But basically, I've only been running, just to have fun since 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, I'm towards the upper part of my 30s. So I'm not, you know, I didn't start off young at all. I kind of wish I would have. But it was more of a social thing. And then, you know, got connected with some friends at the local YMCA. And, you know, there's a 5K. I mean, just like how, all the other runners kind of started off mm-hmm. and entered my first 5K and actually won it. And I was a little surprised by that. I'm like, well, this is interesting. You know, it was painful and ridiculous, but it was interesting. But, you know, that kind of transitioned to doing some team triathlons. And, you know, then I saw the awesome Ironman triathlon marketing promo video, and kudos to the marketing department because they sucked me right in. And so in 2012, I was just like, that's it. I'm doing an Ironman. That's it. And my friends are like, yeah, whatever, Steph, you know, I'm like, screw you guys. I'm going to knock this out. So I went down to Branson and did a 70.3 in 2012. And then that went over really well. And I said, it's time to take on the full. So in 2013, I did an Ironman Wisconsin and was very happy to sub 12 performance and just totally, totally inspired. And there's a point in this, and in my speaking that I do, I've got an actual picture of this epiphany moment in my life where after Ironman, I'm sitting on the curb, my daughter sitting next to me, and I, you know, I'm just, my hands are in my head, and I'm just kind of like blown away about how I just completed an Ironman. I did a great job, really was happy with my performance, but I felt like I could have done 10 more that day.
Wow.
So that was the feeling of what is my potential? What is human potential? Where can we go? You know, I think we don't give credit enough to, you know, our capabilities. So immediately I was like, you know, this endurance sport is definitely something I want to pursue. So after Ironman, after training for 20, 30 hours a week and I had nothing, I was like in this mini depression. I'm like, now what? You know, what do you do after Ironman? And my buddy finally said, just, you know, shut the hell up, quit whining, you know, go out and buy some trail shoes. And I've never ran trail. I didn't know anything about this. He's like, show up in Cedar Falls, Iowa, or Cedar, you know, just a local, you know, 50K. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's a 50K? I didn't know anything about this. So I literally took the shoes out of the box that day, didn't train for anything, and got on the, toe to toe with some of these great people who are, you know, running 50Ks. And, you know, I was so blessed to have a phenomenal RD, Scott Gall, and his crew out there. And they just kind of, you know, they just made that first experience of running ultra, you know, pretty phenomenal. I had no nutrition. I'm not even sure I had a water bottle with me. I can't remember. I mean, it was really pretty lame, but I ended up getting second, and I'm like, huh, well, this is interesting. So, you know, of course, 2 weeks later, I got really intrigued. I'm like, well, I know what a 50K feels like. Let's see what a 50 mile feels like. So I went up to, it was Savage, Minnesota for the, what was that called? I can't quite remember, but a 50 miler, and same deal. You know, I had a little bit of time to look into some strategy and to learn a little bit, like, hey, I should probably carry a water bottle, and hey, I should probably have some nutrition on this. But, you know, I crossed the finish line like in an 8:40 or something like that. Again, second female. And I'm like, but I remember looking over at my crew and my mom and, you know, some of the people that were there. And I kind of joked to them, like, you know, whoever runs 100 miles is a friggin' idiot. And that's just, that is just, there's no point. I couldn't even get my leg up to go into Starbucks. You know, I was just ridiculously like, this is, you know, 50 as far as I'm going to go. And, you know, like most ultra runners do, we don't really think straight. So, right. And a couple weeks later, I signed up for my first 100 miler. And, you know, this was pushing November. And I'm like, well, I'm actually going to do some training for this, and I'm going to learn everything I can. So I started tapping into some great books and some great resources and some phenomenal mentors, and kind of built up a race plan, and went to a peak in Illinois, and I did the Pottawatomie Trail 100, and actually won it and set the course record. Wow. For my first 100. So, and it was all after that, it was just kind of like, okay, I'm addicted now, because mm-hmm. not only was the run ridiculous and phenomenal, but, you know, it changed every aspect of my life. And my second 100, I went out to, you know, Kansas and set the course record and won that one as well. And it's just been, you know, I haven't been all podium stands, but again, that's not what it's about. It's about those experiences. So I'm addicted. I'm a lifer now. So.
So you're telling me that you know, I ran my first ultra earlier this year. So this is what I have to look forward to, just continuing to go farther and farther and eventually never getting out.
You are never getting out, man. It's kiss your life, your social life goodbye. No, it's good.
Right. Well, I mean, there's so many things in there. And again, I know I'm gonna, you know, there's gonna be dozens of people that are like, oh, you should have talked about this. You should have asked about this. And you know, yes, sure. I know I should have. And I'm gonna miss some things. And I know that. But, I mean, well, all right. So first question. This is something that's been kind of bouncing around in my brain since you got going on your ultra stuff. Do you do triathlons and specifically Ironmans anymore? Or is that kind of that window a little bit closed for you?
Well, you know, I've been kind of playing around with that because I've had some injuries. So I've been back in the dreaded pool again. And, you know, I'm a distance rider on my bike. So I'll get on I've got a Cervelo P3. I really like that. I used an Ironman, and it's just a strong, fast bike. So I'll get out and do a quick 100 on the trails. I live in a great community where everybody is either on the trails or running or at the gym. It's just very fitness oriented, which is awesome. So I'm actually tossing around the idea of another Ironman. But you know, right now my passion is ultra, and with limited, you know, hours in the day and, you know, other responsibilities, and my new focus trying to really kind of get that balance figured out, because I kind of suck at that. I do 100% in pretty much everything I do, and after a while that really kind of, you know, it can get shot off a little bit. So right now Ironman and triathlon is kind of on the side, but I jump in it for training. I'm Ironman for life. I mean, that lifestyle, right. That concept is something that you earn that, and it remains with you, and you apply that to those other aspects of your life, including ultra. So I know I'll do another one. I'm kind of waiting for my till I turn 40 to be in that next age
new
group.
Age group, right.
You know, yeah, why not, right? I mean, close enough. So you never know. I'm kind of when it comes to my racing, if I see an opportunity or if I just kind of get the bug, I'll just jump on it. So who knows with me?
Mm-hmm. You progressed quickly. I think that's a fair understatement through the different distances. Like, oh, well, I just did this one, so let me try the next one. Let me try the next one. And had success all along the way. I mean, we talked a little bit just briefly about kind of some of the mental strength and some of the mental, you know, the benefits of the mental strength in the ultra running world. Mm-hmm. Was that part of the success at that point, that early in the game, or was that something that came along later? Or, I mean, I guess maybe the better way to ask you, like, how were you so successful right out of the gate running against, you know, in races that have people that have been running ultras for years at that point, probably, and had race strategies and had plans and had a water bottle, for God's sakes, and all those things. like where did this natural ability to just, I don't know, mm-hmm. compete and be right there come from so early in your ultra running career?
Well, you know, it's funny because I just did a talk about this, and I don't know. Athletics have been natural to me. Running has not been. I have face planted more than I can count in ultras, you know, and you just do the roll and you look really cool and you bounce back up and you do your thing. But I honestly, and this is kind of like a sad moment, but I go back to I was a fifth grader doing a basketball rec league in the summer. And I wasn't very good. And I was standing next, I'll never forget this, fifth grade. I was standing next to, you know, the coaches at the time and me and this other girl. And the coaches had this conversation about who's playing what. Back then it was 5-on-5, like old school, right? So, but I remember him kind of leaning towards the other coach and said, well, I don't know about these two. These two aren't very good at anything. And I remembered that. And that affected me. And it was kind of like, it wasn't like I had something to prove, but you know, as a kid, you know, in that mental state of mind, kind of egocentric, you know, a teenager, you're kind of like, you're hurt by it. And that has kind of driven me a little bit. Like initially it was like, well, I'll show you, you know, one of those things. And basketball ended up paying for my education for the first part. So, you know, I like to shake hands with that dude. But anyways, but I mean, I think my competitive spirit was always there, and it just I was much more reserved, kind of I don't know, it's even 10 years ago, I was much more reserved. But it finally, it's like doing these sports and being around this incredible community of people and learning so much from everybody, you just kind of like you have this permission. Almost this permission just to kind of give 110% because you see the blood, sweat, and tears that your peers are doing, the people that, you know, my mentors and people that I've looked up to and I've raced with. And it's just kind of like, you just want to do well for the sport, for the essence of ultra, you want to do well. And, I don't know. And again, it's just, I've learned early that strategy, as I mentioned, is such a big thing. So, you know, I've read a lot of books and, you know, I've been inspired by, you know, a lot of my running mentors like Tim Olson and Anna Frost and, of course, Killian. And some of those people are just murdering courses. But, you know, I'm also inspired by, and this is the geek coming out in me, you know, Faraday and Tesla and Hawking and Schrodinger and Einstein. So I've done I read a lot of those books. And they just kind of, they encourage you to think outside your basic day-to-day life. And when you do that, it forces you to think about your potential. I mean, they're asking questions, you know, that you just don't think about. So once you kind of go a little bit deeper into, I guess, that world of self-exploration, all these emotions and all these capabilities, they come out because you release them. And I know that sounds super deep, but that's what it's about for me. It's like, I'm a student of life, man. It's just like, I find an outlet that allows me to express that. And I just kill it. I just give everything I can. And, you know, either, you know, you do something 100% or you don't do it at all. And that's kind of how I roll.
Gotcha. Wow, I don't know that I expected it to go that way, but that's all right. That's what I love about this. No, certainly no need to apologize. It's like my mind is kind of spinning on where to go next, in a very good way. You know, so talking about you know the Einsteins and the Faradays and the people that aren't runners, but you're reading and learning from them and able to apply it to just, you know, your life, and then obviously that bleeds over into your running. Is that something as well that's always been part of you, or did that come around a little bit later into your running career, or at what point did that looking so far outside of the box and using those lessons to help build you up and do more, where did that come into play?
I would say, you know, just kind of early adult. I just started. I was never a huge reader, but it was, I don't know, someone would mention something and get me thinking, you know. I went back to school for another degree as an adult. So, you know, that kind of forced me back into more of the reading again. And I've always had an interest in psychology and sociology and stuff like that and how the mind works and neuroscience. And for a while I was doing some public speaking on the effects of drugs on the brain. So a lot of neurobiology stuff I was always kind of been interested in. But I would say it's just kind of matured as I've matured. I mean, honestly, my strategy early on the race, I'm going to reference the 1985 movie. Remember Better Off Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that movie? Okay, right. So remember at the top of the hill where the mountain where Curtis Armstrong says, John, you know, Cusack, this is your strategy. Go that way really fast. And if something gets in your way, turn. You know, that was that famous quote. Well, that was kind of my concept going into Ultra. And now it's, you know, kind of transitioned to utilizing what I guess I've really exposed myself to, you know, personally, professionally, educationally. And it just kind of I'm learning to put all those aspects together to kind of create a stronger athlete, a stronger, you know, person, you know, a better mom, all those things. So it's all about, you know, just being open to your influences and applying them, you know, and I think it's just so easy because we're all so busy and we're all so, you know, running with our heads cut off to really miss those life lessons. And I guess I'm just choosing to embrace them, you know, and utilize them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, wow. Again, so many things and so many follow-up questions I have and, I have a couple of ideas of where I want to go next, but before we do that, maybe we'll segue a little bit at this point, but
sure.
Before we do that, just a reminder to everybody that this is a little bit of an ultra sponsored ultra episode. Funny how that works out, but you guys have heard me talk about ultra running so many times that you're probably sick of it, which is why I'm excited when I have another ultra ambassador on to share some of that burden a little bit. So Steph, quick question that's kind of sidetracked from what we've been talking about, and we'll certainly get back to that in just a minute. You're an ultra ambassador. You're as much of a you know, ultra shoe nerd as probably as I am. So yes. The impossible question, because I know it's impossible for me, and I you know, impossible question for you. Favorite pair of ultra shoes, or what favorite style? What are they and why?
Okay, well, trail is a hands down Lone Peaks. You know, I mean, to me, it's just such an ideal shoe. It's so aggressive on the tread, and the control is phenomenal. And it just it's like an extension of me, which is what I want. I don't want gear that I'm adapting to it. It just seems like, you know, the LP just totally adapts to me, and it's hands down my go-to for racing. I have tried the Olympus. I really like that as well, especially, you know, getting a little bit older and recovering a little slower. It's phenomenal for the longer runs, and for my lovely 40-mile treadmill runs, I go with Torin.
Oh, for a 40-mile treadmill run, just you lost me at wonderful before that. There's not a shoe in the world that I would love to run 40 miles on a treadmill.
That has been my personal record. And it was funny when that happened. I was going to do a 50K, and that was, you know, that's a decent treadmill run.
Yeah, run, right? A 5K to me is a decent treadmill run.
Well, you know, I kind of set up my little, you know, bouquet of nutrition and all that fun stuff. I've got my, you know, my metal music on tap, you know, just to kind of motivate me. But I was doing a 50K, and one of my friends came up and like, oh, just a 50K, huh? And I just kind of looked at him, and I'm like, you know, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, well, why stop at 50K? And I'm like, well, screw you, I'll go 40 miles then. He's like, well, okay then. So I had to then. So
oh,
it that last section was a little slower, but I was happy with it. You know, I stay sub 9, so it was good.
Yeah, I guess you're moving at 40 miles deep on a treadmill, and you're still going. I mean, gosh, like I said, I would be my even if I didn't do anything, my brain would be mush and it'd be running out of my ears. I can't handle a treadmill, which is a story that's been told several times on the show. I mean, there's no story. It's just I hate the treadmill. It's just not my thing.
Well, it's not for everybody. I totally get that. You know, you got to have fun with it. And honestly, that helps with the mental training. If you can manage to run anything over 10 miles in a treadmill, I don't care if you've got two videos going on and some music that'll motivate the crap out of you. It's a challenge,
yes,
but
yes.
It's good. I mean, you do what you got to do, right?
Exactly. And I'm willing to suffer in the Florida summer heat more than I am to suffer on the treadmill in the air conditioning. It's just,
nice.
I'd rather die of heat than die of boredom, I guess. But anyway, shifting gears a little bit back to some of the stuff that you've got going on. And I'd love to get into a little bit more of some of the strategy stuff. Like I said, I've run my first ultra, certainly not my last, although I don't have anything quite yet on the schedule, but as a lot of runners, I've been looking, you know, keep my eyes out for what's going to happen this fall and maybe putting something on the list. And I remember you saying earlier that, you know, the first couple races, you didn't have much of a strategy. You didn't really know what you were doing. You went into it and you did well, but you didn't know exactly what you were doing. But, as you've gotten into it, you've learned more, you've obviously talked to other folks and had some mentors and read some books and this, that, and the other, kind of develop some strategies for your races now. So for those of us, whatever the distance is, whether it's a half marathon, whether it's a 5K, whether it's 100 miles, whatever, what are some of the strategies that you have learned and used and adopted that have helped you in your races? Again, whatever the distance, whatever it may be, because it's going to transcend. But what are some of the strategy lessons you've learned, and how do you prepare for a race these days?
Well, I'd say one of the biggest things, and this is nothing new, and it's talked about all the time, is nutrition. I think, you know, that's so huge. So I read a book, Eating for Endurance, by Dr. Phil Napotone, which, I disagree with a lot of things that he says, but it's also, he's got some solid points that, you know, with true to my nature, really get you to think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I've taken a lot of the nutrition education I've had and played around with it. And I think that's something that I would recommend to anybody is, you know, there's the ketos out there and the vegetarians, and I happen to be pescatarian, you know, with some tweaks. So I think finding the nutrition that works for any athlete in any sport, you know, I think that is so, so important. And I've learned a little bit more about, you know, the good carbs versus, you know, the processed carbs, and, you know, how you can get so much out of those veggies and fruits. And, you know, you don't realize you can carb load on those foods versus people who go to the breads and the, right. And there's nothing wrong with that if that works for you, you know. So right. I think the biggest key is, you know, play around with it. You know, the one thing that I did really take from Maffetone is, you know, the pyramid, the food pyramid, which I kind of call it the food pyramid scheme because I don't think it's accurate. Right. And I think people are like, oh, you got to have so many this, you got to have so many that. And I think it's a good starting point, but, you know, you also got to think about, okay, who created that pyramid? Mm. You know, who's benefiting from that? You know, I think there's a little bit more behind it, but so again, you know, nutrition is so important and playing around and hydration, you know, just is key with that. And, you know, huge, huge, huge in affecting your racing and running.
With that in mind, and I have my thoughts, but I'd love to get yours, because a common question I get, I do some coaching and certainly with the podcast and things like that, people, you know, people reach out with questions all the time, and I'm happy to try to help as much as I can. But with the food and hydration, with the nutrition and hydration kind of theme, how much, what is your take on the importance of all the time as opposed to like the day before a race and during the race, meaning I have so many folks that are like, oh, you know, the night before, what do I need to eat the night before the race? Or what do I need to drink during my race or eat during my race? Mm-hmm. And I feel sometimes like you're missing the point, because if you're eating crap on Monday through Thursday, it doesn't really matter so much what you do Friday night and Saturday. Does that make sense? And what's your take on that type of line of thinking?
Absolutely. Amen, brother. That's all I got to say that, because I think that is so key. I mean, that's where I've talked about how, you know, nutrition, just like everything else in the ultra lifestyle, is a lifestyle. It is a decision. It is, it's not a diet. It's not a plan. It's who you are and what you do. And the effects of that is your performance in racing. So, there are some things that I do, you know, when I'm getting close to a big race. And I mean, I've got my vices just like anybody else, but that's kind of how I roll too. You know, I love what I do, and I feel strongly about nutrition, but you know, I enjoy craft beer. So I'm going to have a beer every now and then. So just like a lot of us, but, you know, there's some things that I do specifically. I go, as much as I can raw foods, often, I mean, a lot of small meals during race week. I'll cut my coffee, which is hard for me. I love my coffee, so you know, I'll cut caffeine, because I have noticed some of the caffeine based foods that I'll have during race day will be exemplified a little bit more if it's out of my system. So, a lot of hydration. You know, I make it a habit not to do fried foods, so I don't eat that stuff anyways. But I'm really just more particular about it. But I'm also kind of pairing that up with, okay, you know, how much water am I drinking? I'm not a big fan of sports drinks or anything like that. I try to go as natural as possible. But that works for me. That may not work for somebody else. It has worked for me. And then, you know, night before, it's not that big. I eat a lot of small meals. They say not to have a salad, but I have a salad that day. It works for me. Mm-hmm. And I'll drink a beer before I go to bed, and I'm ready to rock the next day. So, again, it's playing around with those different things, and seeing what works for you.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that I would always recommend as well is what works for me may or may not work for you. And what
yes.
works for you right now, like, don't be afraid to try something different once in a while. Like, maybe not on race day, but on your long
yes.
days, on a training run. Try something different, and who knows, you might
Definitely.
Be surprised that something else works even better than what you already had. So just keep trying and experimenting, and also remembering that as we get older, or as our fitness levels change, like, some of those other things may change too. So keep trying
Definitely.
Different things and experimenting as we
yes.
go.
Yes. Yeah, and the biggest thing that I tell a lot of people, because I have done a little bit of coaching and personal training, just as I've met more people kind of throughout my running, and I tell them to look at food as fuel and not entertainment. Mm-hmm. And once you can adapt that concept, that will absolutely change how you look at food. I mean, going out to eat is, I'm not high maintenance. I seem kind of like I would be, but I'm not. I'm really an easy date, I swear. But I mean, it's more of, you look at the food, you look at the portion size, you look at all those things a little bit differently once you adapt and really convert to that concept. You know, something there's a quote by Napoleon Bonaparte who said, an army marches on its stomach. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty powerful. I mean, if you really think about that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's such a debatable topic, you know, and it's interesting to me. I like to hear, I've learned, I really like to debate some of it I just shut up and listen, and other times I throw in my 2 cents, but it's very interesting.
Yeah and there's the big thing, it just comes back, there's no one size fits all, there's no this is the perfect diet,
right.
it's what works for you and what your tastes are too. Like, let's not just eat things that we just don't like.
I mean,
you
know,
figure out ways to prepare things or substitutions or whatever. But yeah, it's a big can of worms, and it's just always, I'm curious to get some different perspectives, especially somebody who's spent
sure.
a little time working on it and trying different things and things mm-hmm. of that nature. So it's good to get a different voice, even if we're kind of echoing each other a little bit. Another thing you mentioned earlier that I'd love to touch back on just a little bit, and we mentioned this way at the beginning, and it stuck with me, which means that I have to follow back up on it, or else I'm going to be kicking myself
sure.
the rest of the day. You talked about the value of cross training and,
yes.
you know, doing other things beyond just run. And I know for, a lot of folks, especially folks that are newer to the sport, that have been into it for a couple of years, and they've been mostly just running to this point and seen a lot of progress and a lot of gains, but then they start to maybe plateau a little bit because things are getting mm-hmm. out of balance, and, you know, some muscles are getting worked and other muscles aren't. And so you got atrophy and all this, that, and the other.
Right.
You know, you mentioned that cross training has been valuable for you, especially even with running these long races where you're not training nearly at that level. You know, I think maybe that's something mm-hmm. also that people don't recognize, is that, you know, when you're doing a 100-mile race, you're not necessarily doing 100-mile training runs or 90-mile training runs like you might do with
a half
marathon, where it's like, oh my gosh, I got to run 10 miles to prepare for my half. But all that mm-hmm. to say, what are some of the things that have been most valuable for you, or that you think you've seen the most benefit from in the cross training world that has translated into success or improved performance in your running?
That's a great question. I think the biggest thing that I think has been beneficial to me is, first of all, finding those activities, and I'll talk about that you enjoy. Mm. I mean, don't pick up a cross training activity that you are dreading. I mean,
right.
it's counterproductive. I mean, that just kind of feeds into the negativity, and it truly affects everything from, you know, the neural processes to release our adrenaline. I mean, there's so much science behind that. Enjoy what you do. Love what you do. And I think, you know, that pulls me back a little bit into some of the triathlon components mm-hmm. and some of those things. That's been helpful for me when I'm injured. You know, if I'm in the pool, you know, I'll kill it in the pool. I mean, I'll go out and do a hard mile, and I'll do, you know, different, you know, board kicks and, you know, different things, even pool running, which looks ridiculous, but it works. Mm-hmm. People do it, you know, so that's been a good thing for me. But I'm also like, I'm a wakeboarder. And I was, I'm a surfer who lives in Iowa. So think about that, you know? So again, those things, you would be blown away, but you know, a day surfing about what that does to your quad. So, I mean, there's so many things, but I love everything that I do. And that makes kind of a natural, cross training. My lifestyle is basically cross training, but, you know, and I'm big on, I recently started doing more of, you know, the stair stepping, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I see the big picture. So I make it fun. I make it enjoyable. You know, the lunges and the basic stuff that you can do, you know, with nothing but a chair, mm-hmm. you know? So the creativity that you can come up with, there's so many great, you know, resources on the web and the podcasts and stuff like that, that can give you ideas. But again, I think the biggest, my biggest point is find something you enjoy, and it's going to be a natural part of your training and running. And, that's, it's really beneficial. I mean, I was injured for a while and, was in physical therapy, and they had me doing this crap that I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. I hate this. I hate it. But then it was like, when I was finally able to run again, I went out and I'm like, oh my God, my heels, my climbing is phenomenal. And I went back to my PT and he's like, yeah, that's because we did this, this, and this. And all of a sudden I didn't hate it so much. So if you're a little competitive, like I am, you'll find that those things that actually benefit you aren't as bad as you think they are. So, you know, try different things. I think group training is good too. You know, find that that social aspect, and that kind of gives you another point of fuel for the cross train, because you're doing it and you're kind of distracted by your friends and your peers. And I think that's another really good tip.
That is a really good one. And it just makes me think that a lot of us run socially as well. We may be competitive, but we still right. love the group run and running with our friends. So you know, instead of an easy four one day, why don't have everybody go to the Y or whatever the gym might be and get a little workout class in. That's a great tip, actually. That's not even bad. That's fantastic. That's a really good one.
Yeah. And I typically, just because of my schedule and how busy I am, I find myself training solo. But those opportunities when I can meet up with, I mean, I'm part of so many running groups, I don't see them as much as I'd like to. But once I do get out and go for a run, I'm like, oh, guys, when are we doing this again? You know, and I get pushed and I think, oh, you know, but I want to do hill work and I want to do this. Well, there's somebody in that group that's going to relate to you if you're in the right group anyways. So, you know, I don't be afraid of doing those group runs. And, you know, just, you know, I think it's so important, because I was like, man, so-and-so really pushed me today and I wasn't expecting that. Or, you know, I laughed the whole time and knocked out 20 miles, you know, what the hell? So, so important stuff. So have fun with it.
Yeah. The miles and the reps, if you're doing like a strength training type of class or you know, whatever, they definitely go by quicker when you're laughing and having a good time and things of that nature. But before we let you go, Steph, I have to ask, and we can keep this real, real short and sweet if you want, but, my background, in case you're not aware, is, I'm an athletic trainer by trade. So sports injuries are my jam. I mean, I could go all day talking about different injuries and rehabs and what happened and all that stuff. And you've mentioned injuries a couple times. What is your injury history? Again, we can do this the quick version, but what are a couple of the injuries that you've had to deal with and come back from that were the struggles for you?
Right. Well, they're all self-imposed, that's for sure. Basically from overtraining. And again, I've mentioned balance, and that's something that I constantly need to work on. I've had everything from stress fractures. Within the last year, I had my fibula snap at my ankle, so that was no fun.
No.
I've had some battles with some falls. I at mile 23 of a 50 miler at the Minnesota Voyager, actually at mile 23, I tripped on a rock and ended up cracking some ribs and messing up my quad and lost my vision, lost my hearing, you know, the whole gory scene and all that. Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Still finished top 10. Don't ask about that.
Of course. Of course you did.
that was one of those races where I should have just walked away, but I did. No, yeah, absolutely. But I didn't, because I was stupid and, you know, I'm blaming the concussion. But so I pretty much have had it all. But again, I'm trying to learn from those. So I'm trying to be smarter about, okay, you know, recovery days are so important and I suck at it. And I know that. So that is something that, you know, I'm constantly trying to involve with my running and trying to improve on. But yeah, I pretty much have, I've had it all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well, and you know, the falling stuff, if you run the trails long enough, it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
You're going to eat it a few times and you just hope that Definitely. When you do, you're falling on something a little bit softer than the whatever it was that you tripped on. You know, hopefully that was the last thing that you had to get over. And now you got a little soft ground in front of you. But it's
yeah,
a nature
and
of
it's
the beast.
And it's all about the tuck and roll and the phenomenal recovery stance at the end. Yep. You know, you got to
be an athlete. You got to go down and get up and just like I meant to do it.
I think a superstar, you
yes,
know.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So as we're wrapping up, Steph, the way I like to end is with something that I call a philosophical question. And don't freak out. It's real, you know, just like everything else, very loosey-goosey. But just a short, quick question that is very much open-ended and very much allows you to put your personality, your stamp on it as we're wrapping up today. I've had folks that have answered with a couple sentences. I've had folks that answer, you know, the 10 minutes later, we're still unpacking things a little bit. So however this works for you, I say that to say, however this works for you, however you feel like answering it, that's perfectly fine. And this is where we'll kind of wrap things up for today. But you've talked a lot and we've had several instances about things that you've learned along the way or things that you've tried and improved on. What would you say has been kind of maybe an overarching lesson or something that running has taught you about yourself that maybe you didn't know about you before you got into the endurance game? Whether and we can even talk about before triathlons and whatnot. So before you really got into endurance versus, you know, to this point now, what is endurance sports or what have endurance sports taught you about yourself that you didn't know at that point in your life previous?
Yes, no, great question. And this is why I love this sport so much. Definitely is a kind of, you know, hinted on earlier in our discussion when came to that epiphany during Ironman is the fact that we just have this incredible untapped potential on mentally, you know, physically, all those things. So I think what I'd learned about myself is I wasn't even, you know, scratching the surface of what I can do. And I mean that in the most humble sense possible, because it's not, you know, podium finishes. It is, you know, pushing through. It's that perseverance through a ridiculous, 100 miler that's just kicking my butt and my pacer's yelling at me and all that fun stuff. So it's learning to utilize the tools that I have deep inside of me, you know, that has driven me into the sport to get through those challenging obstacles. And, you know, that has just been phenomenal. I mean, it has done everything from, successes within ultra, but also in my career. I've got a blog where I talk about a lot of these things. I should probably get that to you as well. and it's just amazing because there's really, I truly feel that, the sky's the limit with anything you do, you know, rather it be, you know, with your sports or, your career or relationships or anything that you want to accomplish, it can be done, you know, and that was the whole basis from Ironman where they said anything's possible. Well, I truly believe that. And, you know, ultra is just an absolute perfect example of that. This sport can never be, I mean, you can never kill it. You can never like top out in ultra. There's always going to be a different course. There's always going to be, you know, these different factors. You know, I trained for a race, you know, last year where, you know, the biggest issue was the weather. Well, now I'm looking at a race where the biggest issue is the aggressive moose. I mean, seriously? So, I mean, there is so many different things out there and so many things that you need to overcome. But truly, the biggest asset is, again, ourselves. And also that I'm my biggest liability, not learning to really balance my life, incorporating those rest days appropriately, making sure my mileage is accurate. So I know that my injuries and the things that I do and that aren't as successful is because of myself as well. So the self-awareness and seeing kind of the glass ceiling is huge. And that has been my biggest, I guess, epiphany from ultra. And I love it. Bring it on.
I love that answer. So thank you. I could go on another half hour, 45 minutes probably on just on half the things you said in there. So well done, Steph. You got me going today.
Well, thank you.
But I appreciate your time. And again, guys, if you want to connect with Steph, she's all over the socials, Facebook, facebook.com/Steph.Whitmore14, on the Twitter at SWhitmore14, Snapchat SWhitmore14, and on Instagram at AirOlson14. And as per usual, we'll have those links. And Steph, if you send the link to that blog post, we'll certainly link that up in the show notes as well.
Yeah, you bet.
Everything from the episode, guys, dizruns.com/449. Check it out and definitely connect with Steph and say hello and let her know what you thought. There's, like I said, lots of thoughts from me. So definitely let her know what your thoughts were. Steph, so thank you. Thanks for taking the time today. Certainly much appreciated. Hope that as this gets released, the race will have already happened. But with the race this weekend, hope it goes well for you. And certainly looking forward to continue to follow along and stalk you a little bit on the Ultra group and wishing you nothing but success going forward. And certainly looking forward to staying in touch and take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Steph and myself. And as per usual, I'd be curious what stood out to you from this episode. What was the thing that stood out most in your mind from our conversation today? For me, it kind of came there right towards the end. I mean, not that there weren't other things that stood out as well, but the big one, my big key takeaway, was when Steph was talking about how she's kind of learned that she can be both her own, you know, biggest asset and also her biggest liability. And I feel like that's something that maybe if I'm honest, I can probably relate to as well. And maybe that's just a running thing in general. You know, how good are we all at telling other folks what to do to give good advice? You know, myself as a coach telling my clients, hey, you know, don't worry about missing that workout, or don't, you know, if something's hurting, like give it an extra day of rest, or just do something easy. Like don't try to do that next hard workout. Like, you know, take it easy, listen to your body, all of the things. And yet when it comes to me and myself and my own training, I'm a little bit less likely to take my own advice sometimes. You know, I'm more likely to sometimes push through something that even though I know, and I try to do a good job of doing what's right, but, you know, and I think that I know a fair bit, but sometimes I can be my own biggest liability. I can just say, yeah, but, and do, you know, do that hard workout, or not take that extra day off, or not get as much sleep as I should have, or whatever the case might be. And, you know, thankfully so far, knock on wood, that hasn't really bitten me in the butt yet, but, you know, it could. And so it was just a good reminder from Steph there towards the end that, that a lot of times the thing that stands in our own way can be ourselves. You know, and just something to try to work on. How can we use our traits to be all asset and minimal liability? How can we use that dedication, that passion, that perseverance, that mental toughness in the right sense, but not do foolish things because of it? And it's a balancing act, and it's tough. And it was a beautiful lesson that Steph shared, and something that really hit home with me right away as well. So that was my takeaway. What was yours? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or you can always head over to the show notes. As per usual, this episode is 449, so DizRuns.com/449. Leave a comment there in the show notes, and that way other folks can see it as well. And who knows, maybe we'll get a little conversation going. But, you know, one way or the other, let me know what your takeaway was. I always love hearing those from you guys, and always appreciate that little bit of extra interaction. It's nice to know that somebody's listening once in a while. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Don't forget DizRuns.com/Ultra if you want to check out all the goodies that Ultra has available. And like I said, if you get something that is an affiliate link, so it does throw a couple shekels my way, but it doesn't cost you a penny. You pay the same price, and I just get a little finder's fee, if you will. Helps to keep the lights on, so it's certainly appreciated. And if you have any questions ultra related, obviously you can let me know, or you can reach out to Steph as well. We both have been around the ultra world a little bit, you know, the ALTRA world a little bit. She's been around the ULTRA, yeah, ultra, that ultra world a little bit more than me. So you can ask her some questions there as well. But anyway, I'm rambling now. Time to shut this thing down. So guys, thank you for listening today. Hope you enjoyed this one. If you did, tell a friend. That's certainly appreciated as well. So until next time, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.